be in God's house on this second Sunday of Advent. Good morning. We are all a flutter. God is at work among us here during this Advent season. It's good to gather in God's house. We're all guests here. But I ask you, are there any first-time guests among us today? Anyone here for the first time? Here are some folks. Welcome. We're glad to see you here on the center aisle. Welcome to all of you. I want to be sure that you have on your calendars next Sunday evening at 7 o'clock. That is our Moravian Love Feast, a beautiful service of the season. We'll gather here for carols and to partake of the bread and the coffee to celebrate God's love for us. So I hope you'll come out next Sunday evening for the Love Feast. Many of our students gathered here for a study break at 9 o'clock on Thursday evening, and it was good to be just in fellowship at that time. But we have some leftovers. We have some goodie bags for students. If you are studying for exams during that time and you would like just a little goodie bag to hold you over, there are some out in the narthex under the table and also out in the hallway under the table. And so we thank our higher ed committee for offering this hospitality and continuing to care for our students. And for students, we continue to pray for you during exam time. There are many opportunities, as you know, for us to give throughout this season to those in need. Today is the last day for our warm fuzzy tree, so if you wanted to shop for some new items for the folks in Robeson County and did not yet do that, you can do that today and bring them back tonight when you come, maybe for the pageant. So we hope that you'll offer some things for the warm fuzzy tree. There's also a list today of the options that you can give to through our alternative gifts fair, if I can pull it out. You can continue to make your selections throughout the season and give some gifts in mission in honor of folks. There's a list of the projects and the missions that you can give to on the back, so look over those. Let me invite Beth to give an announcement, a couple of announcements.
I want to invite you to Sensational Sunday next Sunday. It's our traditional Christmas meal with turkey and ham and all of the delicious fixings that go with that. And our cherub choir will sing a few tunes for us. So I invite you to sign up today in the Chimes notes, or if you're not quite sure of your schedule, you may call the church office until Thursday of this week. But I invite you to come just for that wonderful time of Christmas fellowship as we eat together. Secondly, if you had an angel off of the angel tree, please get the items in as quickly as you can. Today was the last Sunday, but you may bring them up until Tuesday of this week. You can just bring it up to the office, and then we will take care of getting it to the families. And lastly, I want to invite you to our Christmas pageant tonight. We had our pageant rehearsal yesterday with over 100 children, 40 of whom are animals. You can take that as you will. Our sweet, sweet 4 and 5-year-olds, and they did a great job of having to sit still for a lot of time yesterday. They were just precious. All the children are precious and have done a great job of practicing and learning their lines. The pageant is tonight at 6:30. It will be right in here. It will be over no later than 7. And then we have refreshments in the fellowship hall. So please take just that little bit of time out of your busy schedule to come see the story of Jesus being born through the eyes of our children tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Beth. Jim has an announcement for our youth.
Right, ski trip. Anyone interested in going on the ski trip and has not signed up yet? This is the time to do it, because the final sign-up date is next Sunday. So I need your ski trip forms in and your ski trip money in by next Sunday. And if you're, you know, on the border about signing up, sign up, because it'll be funny. I've never, ever skied before in my life. So it'll be worth it just for that.
Thanks, Jim. As always, there's lots of things going on. There's lots of things we're preparing for. We're a church in mission. We're doing God's work here. What we do here in this worship prepares us for all that we do in mission out in the world. So let us take a moment to center ourselves to prepare to worship God.
Today, we light the second Advent candle, the candle of peace. In the coming of Christ, there is a new king and a new order in the kingdom. With the coming of Christ, there is a peace so strong that even the wolf and the lamb, the leopard and the goat, the calf and the lion will lie down together. This peace will be so gentle, so profound, that it will be childlike. May we begin to live the peace of Christ today.
And now, as a people who live in the peace of Christ, let us join together in the call to worship. A shoot shall come out of the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and the little child shall lead them.
Lord be with you.
With you.
Let us pray together. Merciful God, you sent your messengers, the prophets, to preach repentance and prepare the way for our salvation. Give us grace to heed their warnings and forsake our sins, that we may greet with joy the coming of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us continue our prayers in silence as we lift our confessions to God. Friends, hear the good news. Our God is a God of peace, of justice, of mercy. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Peace of Christ in our hearts, let us pass the peace to one another. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with
Thank you.
Please join me in the prayer for illumination. Lord, your word goes forth into the world, and our heart return to you empty. Grant us ears to hear your wisdom, so that at the age of return, we may embody our lives through teachings and miracles. This we pray in the name of our Savior, Christ Jesus. Today's Old Testament lesson comes from Isaiah, chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. A shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. On that day, the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to all the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious. The word of the Lord.
Hear now a reading from the Gospel. From the third chapter of Matthew, the proclamation of John the Baptist. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness in Judea, proclaiming, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, "The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now John wore clothing of camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him, and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when John saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor.' For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." The Gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Be seated. This time of year, it is an understatement to say that we are all busy We have houses and rooms to clean and decorate, travel arrangements to make, exams to study for, gifts to buy, office parties to attend, school, Sunday school gatherings to hold, Christmas trees to purchase, ornaments to hang, window candles to light, Christmas cards to send. Don't forget the Christmas cards. For all the hustle and the bustle, there's a sense of excitement in the air, a sense of hopeful expectation. In a few weeks, our youth will gather on a Friday evening, and they will venture out into what we hope will be a chilly, wintry night. They will gather on your lawn, perhaps, on the front steps of some of your homes, and they will sing carols of the season. They will give voice to the reason for the season, as they say. You may open your door, and there they will be in your front yard, and with one voice they will look at you and they will say, "Repent." Would you like to do that? Tell them all, "Repent." The tables turn, don't they? You weren't really expecting that, were you? Repent. This season is Advent. The reason for the season is the chance for us to change our ways, to repent and to return to God. Doesn't the cashier at Walmart greet you with merry repentance? Don't you greet each other on the streets with "Happy Advent, change your ways"? Angels appearing to the shepherds and announcing joy to the world is a beautiful scene. But only two gospel writers begin the story of Jesus with that scene. None of them, in contrast, omits John the Baptist. All four Gospels begin the story of Jesus and his ministry with this voice crying in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord." We are decorating for praise and for celebration, and this strange prophet ruins the party before it even begins. Change your ways. Repent and believe. Our youth might get a kick out of gathering outside our homes and yelling, "Repent," but I expect that it would grate for us. We might not enjoy it so much. Of what do we really need to repent? Sure, perhaps there are some things that we should apologize for. Perhaps there are some things for which we would like to be forgiven. But of what do we need to repent? Repentance implies change. Apology and forgiveness, maybe things don't have to change, but repentance implies change. And we're good people. What do we really need to change? It's interesting that at Advent we might not warm to the idea of change, but when New Year's rolls around, the secular holiday that coaxes out of us the things we want to change, we'll lose weight, we'll start our days earlier, we'll write more letters, we'll spend more time together as family, we'll get more exercise, we'll pray more often, we won't use as much gas, we'll change. As it turns out, there are plenty of things that we would change about ourselves. We aren't as good as we appear to be. We aren't as good as we want to be. We need to change. We even want to change. We just don't want to work so hard at it. Sooner than you think, the Christmas trees will be gone and the Christmas specials will be over, and all around us will be the ads offering to help us change with as little work as possible. Want to lose weight? I love the commercials that tell you you can lose weight by eating. Then there's the commercial that tells us we can lose weight by taking a pill. But my favorite is the one that says, lose weight in your sleep. We want to change, but we don't want to work so hard at it. We want the passive way out, just like the Israelites. Led to freedom across the Jordan, Israel didn't realize how much work freedom would require. Give us slavery again, they told Aaron as they convinced him to recast the golden calf. And centuries later, when God called the people each individually to live by covenant commitments, they didn't want to work so hard. They clamored for a king instead. Give us someone who will be faithful for us, they demanded. They wanted the passive way out. They didn't want to admit that change takes work. Basketball season is here, for both of you who did not realize that. Every good basketball coach will tell you that games are won and lost in practice. Not necessarily during the game, but in practice. It takes work to prepare. One cannot prepare passively. Maybe we hear that as bad news. In my house while I was growing up, there was a cross-stitch saying that I always took as gospel truth. If God had wanted to see the sunrise, it said, God would have scheduled it later in the day. I'd love to start my day earlier, but that would mean I'd have to wake up earlier too. I just don't know if I want to work that hard. I want the easy way out. I want to be passive in my change. Maybe that's why we misunderstand Advent. We don't want to prepare to change ourselves. We want the Christ child to come and to change us. And so with joyful anticipation, we wait for Christ's coming. I baptize you with water for repentance, says John the Baptist. But one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will separate the wheat from the chaff. Robert Webb is a biblical scholar who contends that this English translation is a bit off. He contends that the word that's been translated fork should really be translated shovel. His winnowing shovel is in his hand. That's an important distinction, because if Webb is right, it means that Jesus has come to deal with the wheat and chaff that have already separated themselves. Christ doesn't separate us. We separate ourselves. Preparation for Advent or during Advent is not passive. It is active. It is an active preparation and active waiting. I don't remember who it was who said it. Perhaps it was Leonard Sweet. But I've always remembered the saying. I like it very much because I think it says a lot that is wise. Before you can be part of the solution, I once heard. Before you can be part of the solution, you have to be part of the problem. Before you can be part of the solution, you have to be part of the problem. I think what the speaker meant was, before you can claim to be invested in anything to correct, you have to claim your investment in what is wrong. Before you can be part of the solution, you have to admit that you're part of the problem. Before you can take credit for the change, you have to get your fingers dirty in the mess of the problem. How many of us are lamenting this drought? While we watered our lawns the same this summer as we ever did? How many of us wish it would rain while we still wash our dishes the way we've always washed our dishes? How many of us want so much for Owassa not to raise their rates, but we're not yet recycling either? Before you can be part of the solution, you have to be part of the problem. How many of us, as we shop for the 6th and the 7th and the 8th gift, lament Christmas and its commercialism? How many of us, as we try to find that parking place in the mall, worry about what we're doing to Christmas? Before you can be part of the solution, you have to be part of the problem. How many of us want this war to end, and yet we've never written a letter, or we've never marched, or we've never spoken up in the office or on the street? Before you can be part of the solution, you have to be part of the problem. How many of us want the dynamics in this world around race to change? And yet, those of us who are privileged by dynamics we did not create, how many of us lay claim and confess that privilege? Before you can be part of the solution, we all have to be part of the problem. "We shall have to repent," said Martin Luther King Jr., "not so much for the evil deeds of the wicked, but for the appalling silence of the good people." I wonder if I'm a good pastor. I wonder if I'm really a good preacher. I wonder that because I've never lived up to a standard I heard in seminary. I think it was Will Campbell who said that you haven't preached the gospel until you have been arrested. I wonder if I have preached the gospel. I wonder if I am a good pastor. Before you can be part of the solution, you have to be part of the problem. He comes to break oppression, to set the captive free, to take away transgression, to rule in equity. That's what we sing of the Savior. That's what we're preparing for. But are we passive or are we active? What is it that we're waiting for? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let us now respond to the word read and proclaimed by affirming our faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. As we come to our time of prayer, we lift up all of those who have been affected by the attacks at Galloway Ridge this week and pray for those families who have lost loved ones. We lift up Tom Carnes and Ruth Bierman, who have both been in the hospital this week, and pray for their continued health and healing. We pray for Kathleen Yance, Carlene Kniebel's cousin, who had surgery and is at UNC Hospital this week. We lift up Kate Smith and her family. She lost her father this past week. For these and for other losses and illnesses, let us go to God in prayer. Loving God, we come before you bringing the requests of our hearts, bringing thanksgiving on our hearts, asking that you would be present with us, that you would continue to form and shape us in your ways. And yes, God, we ask that you would give us the strength to change so that we might be more faithful as your people. Lord, in your mercy. Oh God, we know the need for change in our lives, in our world. This week we have been faced with tragedies, with the fear of the possibility of tragedies. God, in our own community, we pray for those at Galloway Ridge, for all of the residents there, and especially for the families who have lost loved ones. We just pray that your peace, that your calm would be restored in that place. God, for all of those who have been affected by the mall shootings in the Midwest, for all people who have faced violence this week, God, we pray for your peace that passes our understanding. Lord, in your mercy. God, we lift to you the request for rain. As we continue to live in this drought, to be people without much water, we ask that you would provide that blessing for us. Lord, in your mercy. God, we know that there are those that are hurting this day, those that are grieving loss, those that are suffering with darkness. God, we pray that you would strengthen all of us in mind, in body, in spirit. We especially lift up to you Tom Carnes, Ruth Bierman, Kathleen Yance, for others that we know who have gone through surgeries, who have dealt with illness, for those who are going through treatment, for those who have been attacked. God, we ask for your healing touch this week. Lord, in your mercy. God, we also give you thanks for the ways that you are working in our lives. We give you thanks for the light that you give to us through the ministries of this church. We pray that you would continue to strengthen our ministries at University United Methodist, that we might be a light not just in this place in Chapel Hill, but a light throughout the community and throughout the world. Today we especially lift up our youth and our children. We give thanks for our youth choir and the blessing that they bring to us as they lead us in worship. We pray for our children as they prepare to bring us the story of your son's birth tonight in the pageant. We pray for our youth and our children this day. Lord, in your mercy. For all these prayers spoken and all the prayers that are on our hearts, unspoken, we lift them to you in the name of Jesus Christ, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. God is good, and all the time. Let us take a moment to offer to God thanks for God's goodness, for God's blessings. While we do that, I remind you to pass the fellowship pads. Let us know of your attendance and let us know of any prayer concerns that our staff and clergy and prayer teams can be in prayer for. Let us take this time to offer to God our thanks, our tithes, our offerings, our very lives.
extra time. Go forth and change.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.